Welcome to the Classroom Reattire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's get to it. So, everything happened.
oh boy, howdy, did it.
It's like we know exactly what to expect, and yet we're still taken aback by just how much wrestling
is
involved in WrestleMania weekend.
Yes. Yes, there is.
Yeah. Where do we even start? Like, was there anything from TakeOver that you wanted to cover?
Okay, so I was thinking about this before we were starting today, just like kind of this sheer immense amount of wrestling to cover. And for the record, we were recording this Tuesday evening, but before SmackDown has started. So by the time this is out, you will have seen SmackDown.
Yeah.
So that you will have experienced even more wrestling than we currently have in our fatigued state right now.
But for scheduling purposes, we went ahead and recorded this week.
Yes. I think we'll have enough to talk about.
Yeah. But yeah, like I don't even know what to say about TakeOver because it feels like it was so long ago.
Yeah.
By comparison.
Well, and some of it is like I was thinking about like, okay, we're just gonna kinda go through the card match by match. And I think it's like I don't even want to do that.
No.
And part of the reason is because I will get into everything in a second, but I want to talk about the length of WrestleMania as a concept.
Yeah.
Because it is long. And it's been long for a while. But
especially in the network era, it's gotten even longer.
Yes. And I think it was 32 that went to midnight for the first time.
Yeah.
And had this feeling of, because it was like 5 minutes to 11, and Triple H and
they hadn't even
Roman hadn't come out
yet. Yeah, like they were still in the Rock segment, I believe.
And so just kind of like, they're going to have to really, and they're, you know, this is going to go over 5 to 10 minutes. And it wasn't. It was a 40-minute match.
Yeah.
I don't remember how long it was, but it was a 40-minute match.
It was very close to midnight when things got wrapped up.
Yes. Yeah. And then that immediately became the normal. It was, you know, WrestleMania went till midnight.
It's like, oh, we can go to midnight now.
And this one, it was, you know, 10 minutes to midnight, and we hadn't started the main event match. And I think it ended about 12:20.
Yeah, it did.
But
with a weird finish, but,
yes.
You know.
But there weren't any bad matches on the card. There were matches that were great and we're talking about, and there were matches that were fine. And that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, but there's some moments that were less than stellar, but, I mean, you're going to get that in a 7-hour show.
Yes, there. I mean,
you're going to have peaks and valleys.
It's not uncommon to be like, match X was a garbage match. Why was that on WrestleMania?
Yeah.
The Triple H Roman match, case in point. Like, that was just a bad, bad match. But there weren't really any of this. You know, there were some, like, critiques that I have.
Right.
But the worst matches of the night, I'm going to go, they were fine.
Yeah, like, I don't really think anything stunk up the joint.
No.
You know?
But that then begs a question. Why are you having matches on WrestleMania that are fine? If you have a 8-hour show at this point.
Yeah.
You know, people were joking about, like, Michael Cole's voice going at the end. You're like, Michael Cole worked a full day.
Well, sure. Like, and they broke it up a little bit here and there, like, you know, between the two commentary teams and bringing in, you know, guest commentators. There was a lot of guest commentators.
Yeah.
And it's a good way to kind of break it up, especially for, like, give people a little bit longer of a break. But you can hear at the beginning of Raw just how much of a toll it took on Michael Cole's voice. Because he was not sounding like himself at the beginning of the show.
Yeah. So this is... This really, I think, needs to address the question of why is WrestleMania so long? Is this a good or bad idea? How long should it be?
Mm-hmm.
And what should you be doing going forward?
Yeah.
And feel free to disagree with me or not. Obviously, there's going to be a 2-night WrestleMania sometime in the near future. We're at 35.
Yeah.
By 45, there will be a WrestleMania that's 2 nights
and
long.
And that would be an expensive endeavor because, you know, they would essentially have to rent out these arenas for 2 nights in a row. And, I mean, granted, obviously, like as we covered last week, WWE has some money.
Yes.
They would be able to, you know, cover that.
Well, the stuff was all set up Saturday night. Like, it wasn't like somebody else was using it Saturday and then they came in. So, I don't know if they would be needing to rent it any longer.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Obviously, it would be... A two-night WrestleMania is going to be more expensive to put on than a one-night WrestleMania. That's no question.
For sure. But at the same time, do you think they would be any less of a risk of selling out both shows?
No, like, I don't think so.
A lot of people are probably going to try to go to both.
Yeah, I think...
Not everybody, but, you know, a good amount.
I think 80% of your people who are going to WrestleMania are going to buy the two-night ticket.
Right.
And then you get a handful that will buy one night or the other night.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have a SmackDown night and a Raw night, or however you want to divvy it up. You know, either way, you could have done two full-length pay-per-views by cutting the matches in half.
With what you had...
Yeah. You would have 8 matches per night, mm-hmm. which would fill out a 4-hour show each.
And then you have a Kofi main event and a Becky main event.
Yeah, sure. Or just in one night with, you know... Well, I mean... Couldn't really do it this WrestleMania, but you can always do, like, you know, a top men and top women's title here and a top men and top women's title over there.
Yeah.
Like, you can always divvy it up. That's, you know, one of the benefits of having so many freaking championships.
Yes.
So
one of the big arguments about why WrestleMania is so long is they're trying to get everybody on the WrestleMania card to give everybody as many wrestlers as possible that WrestleMania payday. And
which is astounding that they can't do that when there's a giant battle royal.
Well, I want to ask why.
Yeah.
Like, why does Samoa Joe need a WrestleMania payday? Like, obviously...
When that's the plan.
Right.
Yeah.
Obviously, I would love for Samoa Joe to have a great WrestleMania moment, yeah. a great storyline build-up.
This was his first WrestleMania.
This was, and he, I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is like, it's fine, but...
Why do you need to have him squash Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania?
Right. And I don't understand... I mean, if you're like, oh, we need to get as many people to get their WrestleMania payday as possible,
mm-hmm.
why? Why is that WWE's, you know, big important thing? We just had a big, long talk last week about how, you know, stingy they are with money...
Right.
About things.
But all of a sudden, WrestleMania season hits, and they want to be generous.
Right.
And, yeah.
And if that's the case, why don't you just give Samoa Joe the money?
Yeah.
And you just have, like, a, you know, this is your yearly bonus.
Yeah.
Or you give them, like, you know.
This will be, like, their Christmas bonus that, you know, a lot of jobs give out.
Yes. Or, you know, let's say if you want to be like, here's a, you know. Whatever bonus, this is the longest match of the night bonus, or this is a special, like, title championship bonus, and then you can give those throughout the year. So it's like, oh, you're wrestling on Vengeance or Battleground, but then you get a good full match with build-up. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's not WrestleMania, but, like, financially, there you go.
Yeah.
I also, like, some of these guys, I don't know. It's weird that that's the big explanation of we got to make sure everybody gets the WrestleMania bonus. That is
right,
suspiciously charitable from WWE.
From a company that's not known for their charity to their own wrestlers.
Yes.
They'll go on all day about how much they, you know, give and participate in these big nonprofit organizations, but that's usually where it ends until WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is definitely weird. I think the WrestleManias that were held within 4 hours they felt a little bit more smoother, a little bit more organized.
Yeah, I think you look at Becky's winning victory moment and compare it to Daniel Bryan's winning victory moment, and they just feel different.
Yeah.
And some of that has to be attributed to that crowd has been sitting there for 8 hours.
Yeah.
WrestleMania is talked about in language akin to surviving a war. We've made it through. We've lasted this long. Like, that's not the kind of language you want your fans to be using.
And then you got to
when you're talking about WrestleMania.
And then you got to wait 3 hours to get a ride out of there.
Yeah. So, I mean, the way the place came unglued when Daniel Bryan won should have been the reaction of Becky winning. And she obviously got the pop, and she got the big deal.
Right.
But
at the same time, that's also attributed to the way I think the match ended.
Yes.
It was very out of nowhere, and it didn't even get... I don't even think it got a surprise pop. It was just like, wait, that was the end?
Yeah.
You know, like, it wasn't even, you know... It didn't build up to the end. It just happened.
Yeah, but like I'm talking about, there's a moment where Daniel Bryan's a title in each hand over his head, and Becky does the same thing, title in each hand over her head, and Daniel Bryan has this feeling of hooray, he did it.
Yeah,
and Becky has this feeling of hooray, we made it.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. It was definitely a mix of, you know, surviving 8 hours of this and also having a weird finish, whereas a lot of the audience was sitting around like wondering, like, oh wait, is there going to be like some sort of like screwy thing going on, because it didn't seem all that conclusive.
It was absolutely
like,
weird.
I kept waiting for someone to run down the ramp, be like, no, the pin didn't count or something, like a real like WrestleMania 27 kind of ordeal.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of those played a factor into why the crowd didn't exactly react probably the way WWE would have wanted.
Yeah. And it's been obviously some time. Nothing has officially come out saying like that was a botched ending.
Yeah, we're getting messages like saying both things, that it was a botch. Some are saying that's exactly how it was planned. No one's really saying what.
Yeah, nothing's come clean and apparent. And there's nothing like one of the big suspicions was this match was, you know, cut for time.
That's what I had assumed.
Nothing's really come clear about that. I will say,
I guess we'll find out in 8 months whenever the WWE 24 comes out.
Yeah, there you go. I will say, just because I know that some people are complaining about this and haven't put it together, the 7-second dance break was put in there to give time for Joan Jett to set up.
Yeah.
Like, I know when you're watching it and it's friggin' 12:58 and they're like, here, let's do this comedy sketch instead of getting the match. That feels like the thing you could have cut. That's why it was there.
Right. There's that. I mean, there was things you could have cut. As much as it was a great moment, but there was a lot of time wasted in the John Cena surprise segment. Namely, like the weird like view through history Babe Ruth video thing.
The thing you could have cut. And I went back and I looked, and the thing you could have cut is the Triple H Batista match. Triple H
likes to pad his matches.
Yes. Triple H has had the longest match or second longest match on every card since 30.
Yeah.
Not including 30, but like, and where he has the second longest match, it's within 3 minutes of the longest match.
Yeah.
Triple H matches,
he's always sniffing it. He's sniffing the longest match of the night.
Yes. Triple H matches are too long. Mm-hmm. And it has gotten to the point where it drags the show down. Especially a show like this one, where you're cramming, 16 was the final count?
16.
17-ish, if you want to count the John Cena. I mean, it wasn't a match, but...
It was a match length,
yeah. But you're cramming that many matches onto the card, so they're clipping along at a fairly brisk pace.
Yeah.
You know, we're line up. Once we get a match done, there's a lot of clear out. There's a very short segment or video, and then we're into the next match.
Yeah.
And so Triple H and these extended Triple H matches.
On top of extended Triple H entrances.
Yes. They feel out of place too long.
Yeah.
And this is not to say that a 28 to 35 minute long match is too long. I think both of some of our favorite WrestleMania matches these longer ones. I mean, the Shawn Michaels Undertaker, both of them ran 40 plus minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of knocking up against an hour if you include entrances.
Yeah.
And in both cases, they're like, perfect. Don't cut a second from them.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, they are good entertaining matches.
They are good entertaining matches.
Don't feel like it's, you know, getting close to an hour. Whereas, especially these last 6-7 years, the Triple H matches, you feel every minute. And I don't mean like, you know, feel electricity or whatever. You feel how long it is.
Triple H has also not been in what would objectively be the most important match since WrestleMania 32. In 32, he was champion. It was the main event. Like,
yeah,
as crappy as the actual end product was,
mm-hmm.
that was the match. You're like, a match should go 30 plus minutes. It's that
the main
one.
Event.
That
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah.
But other than that, Triple H's matches should have been that they're in the middle mm-hmm. of the card. They belong in the middle of the card. That's not a yeah. shameful place to be.
No.
That's where you put them.
That's the speech I'm sure he's given a lot of people.
Right.
That, you know, middle of the card on the WrestleMania is not a shameful place. It's not, you know, a death sentence or anything. And that's why I was low-key hoping that Batista was going to win, so mm-hmm. Triple H would have to retire. Because honestly, like, we don't need a Triple H match at WrestleMania the same way we needed a Undertaker streak match. You know, we don't... Mm-mm. It's not... I don't know if he thinks it or the company thinks it, but the Triple H match is not a staple of WrestleMania.
It is not.
From what I... According to interviews leading up to Mania, this match wasn't exactly Triple H's call. He was still, like, I think he said at least 75%, you know, healed from the torn pec mm-hmm. from Crown Jewel. And so he, you know, wasn't really clear to compete, but Vince, you know, said that they needed him. Now, whether or not, you know, he's exaggerating or he's telling himself, oh, they need me. Either way, that probably had something to do with why the match felt so long. He's working with an injury. But at the same time, like, they need to stop with the thinking that they need a Triple H match at WrestleMania.
Yes, I agree with you.
Like, this WrestleMania survived without a John Cena match and without without an Undertaker match.
Yes.
Just complete proof that the current roster, when given, you know, good storylines, plenty of time to, you know, work
mm-hmm.
the stories through and to work in these matches, they can put on an amazing WrestleMania.
Yeah.
No, and, like, and this is even a WrestleMania that isn't focused on Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
You know, just on the Becky stuff, just on the Kofi stuff.
Well,
like, they had the strength on those two alone to carry the show.
Yeah. And Roman Reigns is an excellent example of a match that did not need to happen. Now, like, I'm not going to begrudge him. And I understand we want Roman Reigns on this card somehow.
Right.
And he falls into the Randy Orton category of they got to be on the card somewhere.
Right.
Which is fine.
But the show doesn't need to revolve around them.
A handful of weeks ago. And it didn't, and that was great.
Right.
But
and, like, you can even argue that the show really didn't, like, hinge on Brock Lesnar either.
No.
You know, which had become kind of a staple of its own. Like, they're going to do something big for Brock Lesnar. And they opened the show with him.
Yeah.
You know, like, he did the job in, like, the first 20 minutes. Like,
well, and you think about the Triple H thing, and Triple H, I understand, is a part-timer.
Yeah.
But right now, he's working a Undertaker schedule, which is just WrestleMania, because the Saudi Arabia shows
yeah.
are these weird things that kind of count but don't count.
Yeah.
Like, and this isn't even getting into, like, the sticky situation of Saudi Arabia. It's just confusing as to if they matter or not.
Right.
And
I think I've found a good solution. Well, yeah. I let WrestleMania have, like, one big, like, part-timer.
Uh-huh.
Like, one big, like Batista. Because I think we all believe, like, you know, agree, like, yeah, Batista belonged on this card.
Yes.
It had a, you know, a big spot. Got a lot of excitement.
If Batista comes back, this is what he should come back for.
Right. Or, like, The Rock. Or if Brock stays away for an entire year and has a WrestleMania match. Something like one big part-timer.
Mm-hmm.
All the rest of the part-timers, let them get their payday on Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
You know? Because they're big WrestleMania scale type shows anyway.
Yeah.
And they clearly want to get these older guys paid, you know, through Saudi Arabia.
Well, I mean,
so
it's what Saudi Arabia is asking for.
The Crown Prince, but yeah.
Yes. but that's one thing that somebody talked about is, like, you know, WrestleMania doesn't have that Saudi money. That's why Undertaker is still wrestling on Saudi Arabia shows.
Yeah,
and nothing
that's
else.
Why he wasn't on WrestleMania.
Yeah, and there's this weird thing that, like, okay, but at the same time, if you just ignore those shows because they're house shows that we happen to get to see, the Undertaker retired when he was, like that hat in the ring still means something. I mean, it doesn't because of the John Cena thing.
But, yeah.
But it means something more than, why is Undertaker coming out of retirement?
Right.
Why does this dead man, who's a zombie, need money?
So, to go back to your original question on, like, why do they feel the need to have so many guys on the card for this payday?
Mm-hmm.
That's when you can treat WrestleMania as a special event that it's, you know, you can keep cut it down to 4 hours, put only, like, what's hot or title matches,
mm-hmm.
you know, only the super important elite storylines going on.
Yeah.
And then cram those Saudi shows with as many guys as you want, because that's the real payday.
Yeah.
Because that's where, like, all the Saudi money is going into, and that's where all these guys are getting giant paydays.
Yeah.
Like, there's a way, like, to go about, like, not yet. Yes, the entire roster probably wants a big spot on WrestleMania. But that's not possible. It's not possible to have a big spot for every single person.
It's not.
You know?
And
there's barely a spot to get every single person on the show, period.
Yeah. Well, and so these Saudi shows, and they're in this weird thing mm-hmm. of, like, what matters and what doesn't. Because The Undertaker's coming back, but I know he's coming back literally just for this, and he's going to disappear again. It's this weird, like, supplemental bonus content that, like, you can play the full game without this DLC pack. Which is, like, it's fine if you're like, oh, I want this Undertaker and Kane storyline versus mm-hmm. DX. But I literally know it's just existing in this little side bubble.
Yeah, this tiny little, you know, story that's gift wrapped in blood money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's over here to say. Now, now there's stuff.
But it has no bearing on the rest of the product, you know,
right.
For the rest now, of the world.
Now, there is stuff like Braun Strowman facing Brock Lesnar for a vacant title. I'm like, that is, you know, content that affects the show going forward. That is a piece of actual core WWE storytelling.
Right. Because other than that, very rarely, unless it's they're going into it with a title that's vacant. I believe that's the only time titles change hand, except for Buddy Murphy at Australia.
Yes.
Other than that, the champion always retains.
Right.
You know, and that's it.
Yeah.
So really, it has a whole lot of bearing on anything, unless, again, like you said, the title is vacant.
Yes. Anyway, with this Triple H thing, it comes down to Triple H has wrestled this WrestleMania, Saudi shows or whatever, big house shows, basically, big tape house shows, and then the previous WrestleMania. So I liked the Triple H, I liked the point of authority Triple H.
Yeah.
Wrestling when he had to. Like, with this, like, I gotta do it, can't do it, you know. Which, yes, of course, happened to line up with WrestleMania, but he was also a present factor in the rest of the show.
Yeah.
He was there, he had to wrestle when, like, you got through his stooges.
Yeah.
And he would also wrestle, he had this whole thing with Brock, and obviously, you remember, like, when Brock first came back, and he had weirdly terrible matches with Brock?
Yeah.
But
three of them.
Yes, three of them. But they were spaced out in a way that felt like a progression throughout the year. Of course, they managed mm-hmm. to happen to land on SummerSlam and WrestleMania,
yeah,
like we knew they were going to. But it felt like this was a feud, and we both want to deal with this feud, and it just happens to land here, and here.
Right.
Same thing with Brock Lesnar facing The Undertaker post the streak broken.
Yeah.
Like, when they faced off later in the fall, it was great because it felt like the storyline was dictating that
when the matches were happening and not the other way around.
Right. Even though I knew that wasn't the case, there were pieces there that were like, this is the case. Triple H is getting to the point where it's like, it's time for WrestleMania. Got to drag that old Triple H out and put him in a show. And that was fine for The Undertaker because the streak was a thing. Because WrestleMania with the streak, part of the storyline was somebody else gets a shot at it.
Yeah.
And as much as I was down on the whole CM Punk thing starting out, I'm like, there's going to be a fatal four-way and to see who gets the shot at The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's just a dumb way to do a storyline. But it was okay because The story was somebody's going to get a shot at The Undertaker.
Right. The ultimately, as we saw a lot of times, like, the streak kind of was the storyline in a lot of cases. But beyond all that, I guess we should actually talk about WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah,
and not,
WrestleMania.
And not as an abstract thought. Well, first off, I guess we should mention, you know, what happened at the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yes.
That kerfuffle chaos. So a fan, I'm assuming a lot of people have seen the clips by now, fan jumped the barricade and was being pursued by security.
Yes.
But wasn't, you know, detained in time, and he made it to the ring and tackled Bret Hart to the ground, kind of on top of Natalya, like Natalya was kind of caught in the crossfire.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened after that, what can only be explained as just a gang riot almost. Like, it was, okay, it was awful to see, but at the same time, kind of heartwarming at the same time to see, like, all these wrestlers break character.
Yes.
Now, you know, just to stand up for someone they loved and respected.
Now that you know everything's okay.
Yeah. No one was hurt aside from the guy that got knocked out.
Yes.
Who deserved it.
So, first of all, don't do that.
No.
Don't do that.
No. It's never okay. Because I believe, like, when asked why he did it, the guy just, like, it seemed like the right time.
Yeah. So, the guy who don't look up and don't give any credence to,
no.
But apparently has been having some Twitter rants, being upset with the main event of WrestleMania, clearly because it's women. Not because it's women, but because it's women.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I feel even better about him getting knocked
out.
So,
like, if that's your beef, why attack Bret Hart at the Hall of Fame the night before? Like, I can only assume it's because you took a look at the lineup and were like, stroke victim, I bet I can take that one. Like, that's the only thought process.
And honestly, you're not, like, he probably thought, like, that was the one guy, you know, because on that, it was groups.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to, like, you know, give anybody else any ideas, but, like, other than that, like, maybe going up against, or going, I can't remember her name.
Tori Wilson?
Tori Wilson, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, because if he had that big of a thing against women, you know, you would think, like, why didn't he do something like that? Dumb incel prick. But, yeah, no, he was very quickly pursued by Travis Brown, really.
Yeah.
He was the first one on the scene, and it made me kind of like him and Ronda. Like, because, like, he did all this for Bret Hart, and he's not even an employee of WWE.
Yeah.
You know, granted, like, the Harts have been, and Natalya specifically, have been very kind and welcoming to Ronda, so I'm very sure that had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But him, Shane breaking character, Big E especially, like, dear God, that guy has some grip strength.
Obviously, the Hall of Fame is only semi in character anyway. But I could see an argument for, no, everybody is still in character because part of most people's character is this, except for Ronda Rousey right now, is this, like, as much as I hate you and you suck and I'm the best,
right?
Wrestling is still wrestling and it's an honorable profession and there are greats.
Yeah.
And, you know, this...
Like, I did like the back and forth, like, cutting between, like, earlier in the night, between Miz and Shane.
Yeah.
It was funny. It was, you know, but you could clearly see Shane was still in character.
Yeah.
Now, like, obviously they're coexisting at a Hall of Fame event because, you know, that's what they do.
Yeah. I mean, and he's tongue-in-cheek in character, which is, like, he's, like, 20 to 30% in character.
Right.
Just enough to mug the right way for the camera.
Mm.
But, yeah, the big takeaway, don't do that.
Don't do that unless you are prepared to... get socked in the face by multiple times by an MMA legend, D.H. Smith. I can't remember what name he goes by now. He was wearing gold pants. He got a lot of shots in, and ultimately get your clock completely cleaned by Dash Wilder.
And as somebody pointed on Twitter, one of the people to jump in the fray was Heath Slater.
Yeah,
and I was like, Heath Slater, who is the biggest jobber on the show. He's a legit, you know, amateur boxing champion.
Well, that's the thing. Like, either everybody that's surrounding that ring either has some sort of legitimate background or at least trains.
Yes.
In, like, different types of focuses.
Yeah.
So you have plenty of people that know how to mess you up.
Yes.
And yeah, I've got to say that they probably, security was probably very much reevaluated after that.
Because
I'm assuming, like, they're probably, I guess security might have been a little bit more relaxed at the Hall of Fame.
I mean, like, I wouldn't have really stressed, like, of the three shows, that's not the one I would have stressed out about.
Because it's not exactly a raucous thing, like, you know, because we've seen plenty of times where, you know, it's a Monday Night Raw, it's the energy's up, and somebody gets a little too raucous, and they get to the ring, and that's usually as far as it goes.
Yes.
They will get up to touch the ring, mm-hmm. and by that point, security's on them.
Well, and also, you got to think, like, we have very much found firsthand, mm-hmm. this is not a, you know, event for casuals, or even pretty intimate. Like, you got to be legit invested in wrestling as a high art,
yes.
to really be invested into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
They're going to have people who are there for the woo fun of it at WrestleMania and right. at NXT and at Monday Night Raw the next night. They're just, this is so much fun, it's wrestling, and I want to be a part of it, and because I'm drunk.
Yeah.
But, like, not even at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. It was weird to see that in comparison of all the times a fan has done something like that at a Monday Night Raw or one. Because, like, usually when that happens, you know, whichever wrestler's in the ring will maybe, like, take a step back, make sure that they're okay, like, not, you know, being in any sort of harm, but, you know, still be out of security's way and let security do what they're, you know, their thing.
Yeah.
This time, the wrestlers, maybe it's the fact that he did actually make contact with Brett, but the wrestlers just took matters in their own hand, mm-hmm. and good on them.
Well, and yeah, I mean, it, again, that's nice to see.
Them taking care of their own, yeah.
Yeah. But moving forward,
yes.
the big question we have to ask every year, WrestleMania 35, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Yeah, definitely thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up.
The length made it really hard to, you know, sit through and concentrate the entire way.
Yeah.
But as a whole, I didn't really have any big complaints. Especially with, like, the outcome of a lot of matches, you know. I was being very cynical, I guess, when, you know, like, surely WWE is not going to have that much of a feel-good WrestleMania. Surely. And sure enough, like, the only, like, really not feel good moment was the Kurt Angle match.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, so many titles changed hands, and every last one of them was like a feel good moment, you mm-hmm. know, like, oh, what a great moment for this person. Like, you know, the Iconics, who are technically heels,
yes.
you know, they were still losing their minds and crying and having this great moment because they won their match.
Yeah. When we did official picks,
yeah.
I ended up coming out like a bandit this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if there was a feel-good outcome, I picked that every time. I think I picked almost every title to change hands.
Yeah.
And there was a record of 7 title changes, which is a WrestleMania record.
Yeah.
I mean, you had so many titles defended, like,
yeah, like
obviously.
Yeah, the odds are kind of getting tested at that point. But yeah, like, I was not expecting the feel-good WrestleMania that clearly you were expecting. And that's not a bad thing. Like, yeah, I feel like you need one every now and then.
Yeah, and again, it's important to remember.
You don't want that, like, every year, but it's still, like, it's good.
I want that every year. WrestleMania.
You got to have the heels win sometimes.
WrestleMania is the payoff.
Sure.
But
you don't want to do that to the point where you're predictable.
You don't want to do that to the point you're predictable. I get enough problems where WWE says, look, we made a happy face person win. And I say, no, that's Charlotte Flair, and you just had her beat Asuka. You're stupid, and I hate you.
Right.
Like, I have enough of those issues
yeah.
where they try and do a feel-good, and they botch it because they're very out of touch
yes.
with my soul. And so
this is about as close as being in touch as they've been in a long time.
Honestly, though, I'll say what's the most surprising mm-hmm. is not Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins winning the champions on WrestleMania.
And retaining.
But the next night.
Retaining
is what was really the shocker.
Yeah, because, like, we kept hearing about, like, these new tag titles that are coming. And I'm like, all right, well, they didn't unveil them at WrestleMania. Maybe they unveiled them when Revival went it back, and that didn't happen. And I was like, all right, well, maybe they're about to reveal new ones right now. And no.
Yeah, well, and that's the, like, that's the Zack Ryder standard, was, like, the winner to WrestleMania, get the pop, the feel good.
Yeah.
And then it's like, that's great. We made a bunch of people happy. Now let's get back to the thing we actually care about. Here we go.
Yeah, and I even like the Brock Lesnar match was quick, and feel good with Seth starting things off. The Demon, you know, keeping his undefeated streak alive to the shock of nobody. You know, like I said, like the only real bummer was the Kurt Angle match. And, you know,
I think everybody still stands by Baron Corbin is kind of a bummer.
Well, in general, yes.
Yes, and I don't want Kurt to lose to him, right. But I still get that he's an old school guy, and he's got out on your shield.
Right, and so that, like that, by that aspect, not everybody was shocked that Kurt Angle lost. It was more like who he lost to. That was the biggest bummer of them all.
Yes. I
still was waiting for like, all right, clearly something's going to happen last minute where like it's not actually going to be Baron Corbin and it's actually Baron Corbin.
All I can say is from this point going forward, you have given this man a massive like trophy to put on his resume of retiring Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Please don't waste it. You waste so many of these. Please don't waste it.
They will.
Of course they will. And
even if they didn't, it's Baron Corbin, so would you really care anyway?
So, to that point, this was a last match either way match. It was advertised as Kurt Angle's final match, and you know, you lose your final match on your shield, and you put over the younger talent, the next generation. And to that, I say yes and no.
Yeah.
Because I want to go to the previous, let's say the three biggest, recent matches where somebody is putting over the next generation, the, final salute to the, going on their shield thing. And those are, they come down to, I would say, Ric Flair to Shawn Michaels, The Rock to John Cena, and Shawn Michaels to The Undertaker, and then maybe Undertaker to Roman Reigns.
Okay.
So, well, and then Undertaker to Brock Lesnar, obviously. That's not a final match, but it definitely has that, you have this mantle thing.
Yeah, you accomplish this big thing that you can carry it on your career, the rest of your career.
Now, all of those guys, save for Roman, were guys who were well into their career.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels was 2 years away from his retirement when he finished Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
Undertaker was 4 WrestleManias away from losing the streak and was wrestling part-time at that point.
Yeah.
Cena at 29 was pretty close to his part-time status as well.
Yeah.
In a feud that was about, I'm better than you because I'm full-time and you're part-time.
Right.
But in all of those, that's fine. They're almost universally fondly remembered.
Right.
The biggest complaint amongst them is Cena and Rock, and most of that comes down to a "you lied, you said once in a lifetime."
Yeah.
And so in all those cases, it is not so much an elevating the younger talent, but a passing of the torch moment. This is for you now. You have the honor of retiring this person.
Right.
Also, in all of those cases, it was not billed as their final match. Now, Ric Flair's career was on the line. Mm-hmm. Shawn Michaels' career was on the line. But it was not this like, well, this is their final match. Maybe they'll win it. Maybe they'll lose it. Doesn't matter. They're still gone.
Right.
And so we have had other final matches beyond those four, five if you want to count the streak ending. And none of them have any of the weight or the gravitas or the staying power of those matches. This one won't. Kurt Angle losing to Baron Corbin won't have the staying power, the gravitas of any of these. And I feel like there's no reason it shouldn't. Except for, and this is stepping out for a minute, except for if Kurt Angle physically can't go. And if he physically can't go, he did his best. And that I'm fine with. 3 broken necks, like, I'm fine with. If you need the short, simple match, put over somebody, that's fine. So I guess that little caveat to say, like, all this complaining I'm having, it's not real complaining because I understand this element of it.
Yeah.
But just to look at it as a conceptual thing, because the biggest argument is like, oh, you always go out on your shield, you put over the next generation. Yes, but you have the right person you put over has to have an element, has to be an element of consideration.
Yeah.
The Rock beat Hulk Hogan as the passing of the torch. And so The Rock, you know, had this responsibility, if you want to say it, to someday pass that torch to the next person. And that had to be John Cena. It always had to be John Cena. Even though it happened as late in Cena's career as it did, that was the time it had to happen because Cena had to have those 7 years of no Rock to become John Cena and then had to have that.
Yeah.
Cena will one day have to pass the torch on to somebody else. It will probably be the person after Roman.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there were people in between The Rock and Cena, just like there were people in between Hogan and The Rock.
Yeah.
You know,
as badly as Vince wants it to be Roman, it's probably not.
It's probably going to be the person after Roman, and that's, you know, okay. Like, the good example is, like, Bret Hart never got a torch passed to him. It was passed.
Right.
I mean, even though he was this, you know, the main event person in that area.
He was the person that was the focus of the show after Hogan left.
Yeah.
You know, and, that, and, you know, it's not always a smooth transition, and that definitely was not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. One day John Cena will pass the torch on to Velveteen Dream. So, moving along. I don't want to, you know, make it sound like we're completely glossing over, you know, the importance of Kofi winning the WWE Championship or Becky, winning both Raw and SmackDown Championships.
Yes.
It's just one of those things where it's like, we don't have anything bad to say about it. So, like, what do we say? Like, yes, it's very important that Kofi won the championship. Now there's an entire generation of kids that feel represented. They see someone like him, someone like themselves, holding a championship. And that is very important.
No, it absolutely is.
And same goes for Becky. Like, not only is she a champion, because we've had plenty of women champions before, but she is someone who has taken control of the industry to show an entire generation of girls that, yes, this is possible, and you can go even further than she has.
Somebody, this past week, in kind of an interview hyping up WrestleMania, somebody asked Becky, you know, you've come such a long way. The women's division has come such a long way since giving you a chance. You're even, you know, at this point, main eventing WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we will ever get to the point where a woman will be the face of WWE? And Becky's like, yes, right now, it's me.
Yeah, she's
and
outselling
she's
everybody on
100%
merch.
Right. Yeah. She has the biggest pop. She outsells the merch. She is the champion of every brand.
Yeah.
She has the main event. She wins the main event. She is who people come to see. She is the face of the company right now.
You're right. WWE needs to stop being cowards and have John Cena pass the torch to Becky Lynch. Start doing, intergender matches. Yeah.
I mean,
who else? Because, you know, like we've said, it's probably not going to be Roman. At least it shouldn't be. Vince might try it.
Well, Vince might try it, but, like, I feel like
they more or less have accepted it.
Well, no, and, like, I don't even mind if Roman Reigns re-earns his top spot on the card and is the top guy of the men's division for the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Cena needs to be doing little bitty part-time here and there things. Cena needs to be passing the torch 5 to 7 years from now.
Right.
Like, probably WrestleMania 42, 43 should be where Cena is passing the torch.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. So, but, you know, in that time frame, the way things are going now, the only person in that radius of being even close to, you know, the top person in the company is Becky.
Yes.
You know? So, let's go ahead and get those intergender matches going. Like, it's, why not? Let's, the best athletes versus the best athletes, regardless of gender, like, why not?
I mean, we talked about it a ton after Royal Rumble.
Yeah. And then, you know, that all kind of, like, was swept away.
Yes.
We thought it was going to be a thing, maybe, and then it clearly was not.
But,
at least not now.
But boy, howdy, would I love to see Becky Lynch beat John Cena.
Yeah.
There was, it was a moment they were doing a little transition where, like, she did the You Can't See Me to John Cena.
Yeah.
And she looked so cool doing it. She looked so cool doing everything.
She really
By
does.
By the way, let me just, there is a cool factor you can't teach. And Roman, good Lord bless him, does not have it.
You.
Like, he looks cool, and I get he looks cool.
He has
cool,
moments where he does.
And he has the face of a guy who's going to beat up all the bad guys. Like he has an action star face, and I get it. And he looks cool, but he doesn't have a cool factor. He doesn't have a cool presence that Stone Cold and Becky Lynch do.
Yeah.
Like, she looks so cool doing everything. She comes to the ring cool. She stands in the corner cool. She looks at people cool. It's so cool every time, all the time.
Yeah. I have no way to really argue with that. I fully agree.
Well, and like, again, this isn't even being like Becky's cool and other people aren't, which makes them uncool. John Cena is not cool. Like he does not have that cool factor.
No.
And
point in case Dr. Thuganomics. Like, we got a good reminder. It was fun.
That was amazing. I enjoyed it. And
but there was nothing about it that was cool.
I think John, our friend John, who watched it, said it best as we were like talking about how long this show was going, and then Thuganomics comes out, and John goes, "This can go till 4 a.m." And I was 100% behind him.
Sure,
because I will take Thuganomics raps all day long. I want this to, if nothing else, those who came in to wrestling like post the Marine John Cena and had like that, like well into like the hustle of respect, like the rainbow shirt era of John Cena, and that's what you think John Cena is, and that's the John Cena you know. I do implore you to go back and find some Thuganomics.
Yeah, because like, there was a reason why he was the top person in the company.
Yes.
And that was the foundation of it. That was the building blocks of why he was so popular.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have the cool...
It's not cool. It's not Stone Cold. It's not Becky Lynch. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. You can still be a good, entertaining wrestler.
Yeah.
You can be a face of the company person without that. That is not...
Sure.
That is not a prerequisite. That is not a requirement. But Becky just happens to have it.
Yeah, but man, it helps.
That if that's the character you're going for and you don't have it, boy, it's gross.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing Becky has it, and Becky has it in spades.
Yeah.
And she looks so cool doing everything she does. Anyway.
Yeah. And then, you know, Kofi's getting a lot of well-deserved praise. But I also want to make sure that we also give credit to Daniel Bryan because, man, like the two of them
put on
a fantastic match.
That was absolutely my match of the night.
Yeah.
No questions asked.
No hands down. Yeah.
That was an incredible match. Those two guys are capable of putting on amazing things.
Yeah. It really makes you wonder, like, why have they been, I don't want to say they've been hiding Kofi Kingston, but why they've been hiding Kofi in the tag team division for so long.
Yeah, Kofi, by the way, is an amazing singles competitor.
Yeah.
And as entertaining and as wonderful and as delightful as the New Day are, I feel like a big description of the New Day, because as wrestling fans who will constantly be called upon to describe something, the New Day often gets described as the really funny and really entertaining, but they're actually also good in the ring.
Incredibly, yeah.
And I think that does a disservice, because I think what they are is really, really amazing wrestlers, incredible in the ring, who actually also happen to be really good and really funny.
Yes.
So they can do this.
Yeah.
But
and honestly, like I love the dynamic of it, where, you know, when it comes down to being serious, Kofi has the more subdued character that doesn't feel a need to scream the other guy down. The other guys of New Day, they pretty much handled all the like high intensity emotions of the feud, and Kofi will turn it up when he needs to. But other than that, he lets the other guys, you know, do it for him because that's their strength. Like, Kofi, when it comes to promo, isn't exactly a high-intensity guy.
Well,
but he can still... He knows... he knows what button to push at the right time.
Yeah, Kofi as a character had a different journey than the other two.
Oh, yeah.
The other two are much younger, and I don't even know how much younger they are, like, in real life. Like, I don't know what their age difference is. Yeah. But because Kofi has been there so much longer, Kofi has...
That's the thing. I can't remember, like, Myth, GIF, or something like that, like, on Twitter, did a really good thread a few weeks back where it's, like, Kofi, who has been through all these start and stop moments in WWE, never quite being allowed to do, you know, anything on the main event, like, he knows that there's not a whole lot of use in getting riled up and hyper emotional or anything like that. But these other two who haven't had their hopes stomped down or anything, they'll expel that energy. And that's why Kofi's like, no, we've got this.
Yes.
Like, it's that confident calm that Kofi has. It's a really good dynamic, but it also shows exactly, like, the guy who's been there 11 years and has he hasn't given up on hope or anything like that, but he knows that getting hyper emotional isn't the way to go about things.
Yeah, no, I agree. One thing that's been really amazing with this whole storyline is the New Day had for a long time become this entity. They were all fun-loving. They were all happy. They all laughed at the same jokes.
Yeah.
They all, like, you know, character-wise, some of their biggest differences were like, well, this one plays a trombone.
Mm-hmm.
But they all were goofy. They were all joking around. And this has allowed them to really stretch into these three separate characters.
Yeah.
This wasn't just a victory for Kofi Kingston, member of the New Day.
Mm-hmm.
This was a victory for Kofi, the character that has been in countless failed tag teams because they keep putting him in tag teams.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Kofi that got his push, you know, stomped back down, you know, right near the beginning. This is
because
Kofi
of one tiny little mistake that the other guy involved in a feud had higher clout and, you know, and basically saw to it that, you know, Kofi wasn't ready for the spot.
This is the Kofi that was given a Jamaican character because of, you know...
Even though he's, you know, from Ghana and had lived in the United States for most of his life. Yeah.
Because it was, you know, first and foremost, we want a Jamaican wrestler.
We want a Jamaican wrestler, and, you know, the kids will get into it. And, you know, and I remember, because I think Colt Cabana, like, reposted the interview podcast with him, like, from years ago, where he was like, you know what, like, if anything else, I've got a solid spot for the rest of my career.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got enough popularity to pretty much guarantee me a spot on the roster for a really long time. Or at least maybe Kofi, Colt had said that.
Yeah.
But it was kind of agreed upon. Like, he's got a nice, comfortable spot. And maybe there were times where, you know, maybe some complacency set in. But I think it took the New Day to kind of shake things up. And even that took a few years
but
to get Kofi elevated.
That doesn't downplay the role that Big E and Xavier had. It was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I think it was Big E. And this might have been on, like, a ride-along episode or maybe just a podcast somewhere. But he said, like, my goal in the company is to get Kofi a world title. Man deserves it.
Both he and Xavier have been saying that at countless interviews throughout the entire run of New Day, or of the, you know, New Day's existence, where their goal from almost the first day, they may not have said it to Vince, but their goal was to get Kofi in the main event, to get Kofi in a championship spot.
I got back into wrestling.
And it happened on accident.
Yeah.
You know?
I got back into wrestling 2010, early 2010, like post Rumble, pre Elimination Chamber. So we are basically approaching 10 years of me getting back into wrestling. Since that time, several of our friends have gotten into it or gotten back into it.
Yeah.
It's kind of been a, you know, product that we've introduced to several people in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And almost universally, people who have gotten into it have had a phase where they've gone, I like Kofi Kingston. I think he could be the next big guy.
Right.
It is, and like, there have been people who have been able to snag the guy who looked like they could be the next big one. Like Rusev, you know, people like, during that time period, like, I like Rusev, I think he could be the next big one. Or Dolph Ziggler, I like him, I think he could be the next big one.
Yeah.
And that's been very dependent on when they got into wrestling.
Sure.
Almost everyone in the near 10 years since I've been back into it has had a period of time where they got into Kofi, and Kofi could be the next big one. Yeah. No matter at what point, from 2010 to 2019, they've had that reaction to Kofi at some point.
Yeah, and like something to be said about, you know, how consistently good he's been throughout the entire 11 years, because I don't really remember a time where he was injured.
No.
Not for an extended period. Now, there were times where he wasn't used on TV. A lot of it was in the development of New Day.
Yeah.
But even before that, he was very rarely used, and during that time when he was, it was to job out to somebody. You know,
I think the biggest thing that Kofi has shown in this whole buildup, from that initial really long match through the chamber, through all of this and the gauntlets and up into and including this match at WrestleMania, Kofi has proved above and beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is championship material. Yeah. He is a worthy character and a worthy person to carry this title, to represent what being a champion of wrestling is.
And all of this, honestly, is testament of there are some guys that'll really surprise you if you just give them a little bit of momentum.
Yeah.
You know, or if you just get out of their way.
Somebody posted a picture of Seth Rollins and Kofi Kingston standing next to each other with their titles, just kind of like a post-WrestleMania promo. And one of the top comments was, these are two future two-time Hall of Famers. Which is a thing now.
Yeah.
And is,
I don't think there's any doubt. Yeah.
Is absolutely correct. Both of those guys will
even
be...
Even before the WWE Championship, like, surely Kofi has put in a better career than Coco Beware.
Yeah.
Like, then that's a blow bar. But, like, the sheer number of championships, period, that Kofi has won is astounding.
Yeah.
So, he already has had a Hall of Fame career. New Day... Absolutely, Hall of Fame tag team. Same with the Shield. Shield, not nearly as accomplished as New Day, but they didn't stay together for like almost 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, they'll also be back.
They'll be back. I don't. Depends on how long Dean Ambrose stays away or where he goes.
Just go back like 4 years when I unequivocally said CM Punk will be back.
Right. Yeah. I don't. I'm still not completely buying that Dean Ambrose is A, leaving, or B, like, just taking a sabbatical or something.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and mention moving into Raw the night after. It was Dean Ambrose's last night.
And he was supposed to have his last match.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended pretty ho-hum.
Yes. He did also get, I think it was after the lights... After the the show was over,
dark segment.
They kind of had his farewell, and the Shield came out for one final Shield bump. So when this was announced way back when, again, the initial reaction from me at least and from several people was, smells like a work, you know.
Still kind of
does. Here are the clues, A through B, A through E, here's my chart, and here's where, you know, there's two Triple H's. Like, I have my conspiracy chart ready to go, why this is a total work. Kind of let that fall by the wayside going forward just because there was no additional element to it.
Right.
He
and
wasn't,
for the most part, Dean Ambrose has kind of been on the sidelines.
Right. He wasn't used any more or really any less than before the announcement.
And then once WrestleMania was going to full swing, he fully took a backseat.
Yes. And so, I don't know. I think at this point, and... I was going to touch on it last week, but WrestleMania was at this point, he's probably gone for a while.
Yeah. In one way or another.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing is like, he's tired. He needs a break.
Which is so weird because he just came back, you know, but like rehabbing an injury and getting back in shape is, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah. And
so you can say that he probably was feeling burnout before he even got back.
Yeah. And you know, that's the thing where, like, you can come back and go, oh, no, that was a mistake.
Right.
This isn't where I need to be personally in my life right now.
You know, the failed heel turn surely didn't help.
Yeah. I think, you know, obviously he's still on great terms with the company. This is the most gracious send-off anybody's ever gotten.
In a long time,
That wasn't like...
A retirement.
Yeah, or a retirement or like a Ric Flair kind of thing. I mean, his wife is still, you know, working with the company, is going to be on the show weekly, as they love to keep reminding us.
Yeah. So at the very least, this is it for Dean Ambrose. Or at the same time, whenever he does feel like he can come back,
yeah,
he can go straight after Bobby Lashley or something. Like,
yeah, I think this is the biggest thing that we are. There's like threads if they want threads. Who knows if he'll be back in 6 months, in 2 years.
Or he might, like you said, like he may have just not come back right. Like,
yeah.
He may, because, you know, we heard about all the complications he went through in rehabbing and getting back. Including like staph infections and stuff. Like the guy went through some stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe he just needs longer time to heal, or he just jumps straight into AEW or another, you know, promotion in like a couple weeks.
Maybe.
Either way, I'm not buying that he's fully done with the company.
I think I will be surprised. And like, you know, again, wrestling anything possible. Mm-hmm. You know, Eric Bischoff was on Raw, like,
yeah.
So I'm not going to write anything out. It's never going to happen. But I would be surprised if Dean Ambrose was an AEW wrestler while Renee Young continued to commentate the weekly show for WWE. I would be surprised.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. I think he wants a break. I think he wants to step away. I think he needs some personal reevaluation time.
No matter,
and I think he is, like, again, this is from, you know, extrapolating bits and pieces from out of kayfabe interviews and stuff, but I think he is an aware enough a guy and a simple enough guy that he can say, I'm in it for the weird joy and fun of it, and when I'm not getting that, he's self-aware enough to step away.
Right. Either way, no matter where he wrestles next, I think it's going to be a while before he shows up there, whether that be back in WWE or anywhere else. Is there anything else from this weekend that you want to touch on?
No, I don't think so. Kind of a looking forward a little bit. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, we've got,
we didn't get like the call-up extravaganza from NXT on Raw.
And I'm assuming that has something to do with the shakeup next
week. Yeah, like, I think that's very possible. That
Which
it's
is
just
good, because the previous years, they would bring up these call-ups and then, like, trickle in a couple more people in the shakeup. I think it's better just to do that all in the shakeup.
Yeah.
You know, and involve, like, because that involves NXT a little bit. And honestly, I'd be okay if the shakeup involved, like...
I would love some people to get kicked back down to NXT in the shakeup.
Yeah, because, like, it's legit its own third brand, and it would be good for some of the guys on the main roster to go on NXT and make them feel like a big deal again.
Yeah, I mean, and also...
Take Sanity back. Take Sanity back.
Well, Sanity's an obvious one, but if you had somebody like Drew McIntyre, he's not who I would pick, but just for an example, you're like, you're going back to NXT, and if they took this NXT thing as a demotion or as a punishment, and then we're all this angry, pent-up rage, automatic big boss of NXT. Yeah.
Or you just have like a 6-8 month run of Rey Mysterio in NXT. Like,
yeah.
Something where he's just like, he's competing with NXT, and think of all the good it could do for the other people of NXT.
Yeah. Looking a little bit further forward, by the time we get to next WrestleMania, we will have shows on different networks. SmackDown will be on Fox, which is going to be a very interesting thing moving forward.
Yeah.
Especially with the Becky Lynch being the champion of both shows right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to get congealed into a single unified championship.
I don't think it is. I think they'll find a way to split it up.
Okay. So, well, and that was the thing with the whole, like, we're going to unify winner take all the men's championship. And I was like,
yeah,
this is
a weird thing to do when you're just going to have to split them up in about 6-8 months.
And not even wait that long, because I think it would be interesting, because we got the Money in the Bank coming up, mm-hmm. and they still do a men and women's Money in the Bank. I would be interested in seeing if the women, like, they do a Money in the Bank for the Raw Championship and a Money in the Bank for the SmackDown Championship.
And so,
and you can only cash in on one. But they probably wouldn't even do that. They would probably just have one for the men, one for the women.
Yes,
because like they've done the last. Couple years.
And I understand that, but having
that would be a good way to
Split it up. Basically, force Becky to go through a little impromptu gauntlet match.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'd be really interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Anything else you want to look for?
Not really. I think I'm good.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays, Tuesdays, appropriate Sundays, all kinds of stuff. Just get on there, chat wrestling with us.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on Facebook. Easy way to... Nope, that's skipped one. We are also on iTunes.
It's been
a long week, you guys.
It has
There's
been.
So much wrestling, and I'm going to go watch more because SmackDown is going on. We are on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Subscribe there. Get a new episode every single week. Maybe give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that kind of stuff really helps out us as far as iTunes metrics go.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
As I just mentioned before, we are on Facebook.
We are.
Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.